Buddy, you want to pray for us?
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Lord.
Yes.
We ask, Father, that you bless them, all that are here today, and that you be among us, Father, and you bring your word to us, Father, and that you bless all of us and others that are not here today, Father. And just the ones that need your healing touch, Father. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, would one of you guys like to read out the Amplified there, those verses from 53 on down?
Okay. You want to go to the end of the chapter?
You might as well, because there's only a few more verses. It only goes to 58, I think. So it's only five more
verses. We're reading out of Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, these comparisons, he left there. And coming into his own country, Nazareth, he taught at their synagogues so that they were amazed with bewildered wonder, and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Mm-hmm. Not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And do not all his sisters live here among us? Where then did this man get all of this?" And they took offense at him. They were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority and caused to stumble. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. He did not do many miracles, and he did not do many works of powers there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus."
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about this, you know, when Jesus talked to them in parables, you know, parables are basically just stories that kind of show, you know, a picture if you've really got ears and eyes to see what the picture is. Mm-hmm. You know, I know, and I'll just share this a little bit. When I first started speaking years ago, the Lord used to show me things, and then he would give me a message, and then he would show me something in the natural, mm-hmm, that made that really stick out, you know what I mean? And I had it happen many times. You know, I've told the story in sermons over the years about, you know, about working in a machine shop and having a big window in front of where my machine was, and I was running, and I've a story about a bee flying into the shop and watching the bee bang on that window trying to get across the street. There was a fence over there, like a wooden fence or something, and there was this climbing flower vine that come over that fence. Beautiful picture. and you could see the sunrise and all that kind of stuff in the morning, and it was just really pretty, you know, to look out that window. I had a great picture window to look out of while I was running the machine. And seeing that bee come in there, And normally I wouldn't have even paid attention to that, but the Lord started drawing my attention up there. And I kept watching it, and I was just almost like mesmerized by watching this bee keep trying to break through that glass. And the bee could see where it wanted to go, but couldn't get there. And, you know, the Lord had been dealing with me about, he'd been dealing with me about reconciliation, and he'd been dealing with me about, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Mm-hmm. You know, and he gave me some of these scriptures, and I thought, well, you know, how do you want me to frame this? Because a lot of times when the Lord gives me something, I don't really know exactly what he wants me to say or how it's supposed to fit together. And I have to wait, even when he gives me scriptures, until I feel inspired to go in certain ways or something. But anyway, make long story short, I watched that bee for a while. And the thought crossed my mind about I could have set it free if I'd have went and captured it and took it. There was a big, huge garage door, and this was in the summertime. There was a big, huge garage door, and we used to leave it open all the time. Mm-hmm. It was just a little way up the aisle and turned to the left, and it was a huge garage door. And the thought crossed my mind, you know, I could probably catch that bee and take him and let it go. But then I thought, he might sting me, you know. And so I didn't do it, you know. Well, then to reemphasize that, a couple of days later, a bird had flown into the shop, and he flew up to that window. And he kept trying to get through the glass to get out into the heavenlies and fly away. Mm-hmm. And he kept banging himself against the window. But just to go back to the bee for just a second, I should have told you. The next day when I came in, that bee was laying on the windowsill dead. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought, well, you know, geez, I could have caught that bee and set him free, you know, and I didn't. Well, then then that bird flew in there, and same situation. So God was... And he had me paying attention to that too. And then the thought came to my mind, well, I could probably capture that bird and take him back to that huge door and let him go, you know. And I got somebody else, I can't remember who I asked to come up there, one of the guys, and we got a box. And and we took the box and pushed it up against the window and trapped him in the box. And then kind of made some, you know, rattled the window a little bit and stuff. And he moved back up into the box a little bit, I guess. We closed the lid. I took the box over to that door. And I opened the box and rattled a little bit. And he took off, and I watched him fly into the heavens, you know. And God, and all those scriptures that the Lord was giving me about reconciliation and stuff like that. And he was giving me scriptures about that. He was giving me scriptures about... there is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof the ways of death. He'd give me all these different scriptures. And all that stuff started making sense to me. And I thought, oh, Lord, you graphically showed me that we've been called to minister a word of reconciliation. You know, we've actually been called to do that. And we need to do the work of reconciliation. And the work of reconciliation is telling them what Jesus did on Calvary. And not only telling them what he did, but leading them to the door. And the door is Jesus Christ. There's no other door but him. He's the door to the sheepfold. I mean, you know, all the scriptures, there's tons of scriptures concerning him being the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he's all those different things. And a lot of times, if we are put in a situation to where we could set someone free by sharing Jesus Christ to them, leading them to the door, you know, the way they're going a lot of times, they know there's something else out there, but they don't know how to get there. Mm-hmm. And they're going in a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, you know, because he is the life. And they have to come to realize he is the life. And, you know... He showed me that, and you know, when I shared the sermon, you know, it all made sense, and it was like he was showing me a parable. He was actually showing me a parable, see, and then later on another time. I mean, he did that numerous times when I first started speaking. He doesn't do that so much anymore, because when he gives me a word, I understand better than I did when I was a younger Christian, you know. And he doesn't really have to give me a parable, but sometimes he will. And you know, I told you all about the weeds growing along the side of the hill in our backyard. These things look like weeds, big tall things. Margaret was the weeder, and I was the grass cutter, you know. And because she took care of flowers. I'm allergic to a lot of flowers, so I try to stay away from flower gardens and all that stuff. So that's her deal. She loves that kind of stuff. And I appreciate the beauty of it, but I don't want to get involved in it too much because it irritates my allergies, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I saw those things growing up there, and I took them and I broke them. I threw them on the yard. And she come out hollering at me onto our deck. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" And she says, "You broke my trees." I said, "Your trees? What are you talking about, trees?" I said, "You let these weeds grow up along the side of this hill." And she says, "Them ain't weeds, them are my trees. They grow really fast." And I mean, they grew fast because they weren't there just a week or two earlier. I hadn't even noticed them when I was cutting the grass. And these things were pretty tall, you know, they were like up here. And she said, "Them trees grow really fast. I've envisioned them growing up and shading our deck," you know, when you're out on the deck. And the Lord had been giving me a scripture about the blind man, you know. And when Jesus was walking down the road or whatever, he came on this blind man, and he took and anointed his eyes with, you know, and he anointed his eyes, and he said to him, "What do you see?" He said, "Well, I see men walking about as trees." Well, see, God started, he's telling me about trees, see, you know, he showed me that picture. He said, "I see men walking about as trees." And then Jesus prayed for him again and said, "Now what do you see?" And he said, "I see every man clearly." And God was letting me know, until you see every man as a potential fruit-bearing tree and realize they're a tree of God, you're going to have the tendency to want to pull them up out of the ground, break them, and destroy them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And religion is not about that. And Christianity has a tendency at times to emphasize people being destroyed too much. The devil, hell, all of that stuff.
Yes.
They emphasize that way too much. What they need to emphasize is he that's altogether life. And that each man out there is a potential fruit-bearing tree. And when they come to that realization, then instead of judging people harshly the wrong way, you know, sometimes you can say one word to somebody, and it can be the one word that will just destroy them. It'll be the one word that'll make them never want to go into a church again.
Yeah.
It'll be the one word that'll make them not be successful their whole life because you've told them that they're too stupid or they can't do something or whatever. And but anyway, the Lord was showing me that. And the scripture he had given me was that my people perish for lack of vision. See, mm-hmm. That was the one of the scriptures, you know. And I began to realize that I didn't have vision of her trees. Mm-hmm. I had vision of weeds, mm-hmm. See. And I broke her trees. I mean, I pulled them up out of the ground, broke them, threw them on the yard, and I was going to fuss at her a little bit and tell her, "Well, you ain't even been weeding this thing. This is your job. My job's cutting the grass." You know, she came out and she got on me and she says, "You broke my tree."
You didn't see what they really were.
Yeah.
Would that be considered confusion?
Yeah.
Because when you talk about the bee and the bird, they were confused that they couldn't get out the glass.
Well, because to them, they could see where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
See, and out in religion today, people think they see where they want to go. They want to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they don't want to go to hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, Donald Trump has actually said a few things recently, and I don't like to talk, you know, politics, but he said a few things recently about, you know, about dying and being a little unsure about that. You know, I've heard him say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Not real recent, but, you know, in the past a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people worry about that. Especially as you get older, you begin to think about, boy, you know, my life, what have I done with my life? You know, that kind of, we all think that sometimes. And, you know, everybody has that tendency that they think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, you know, it's one of those things that you can be doing things, you know, you don't get to heaven by doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you doing good things. It's about you committing your life to Jesus Christ, acknowledging him as your Savior, him being your very life, you know, Christ in you being the hope of glory, all of those things. It's not about what you do, good or bad, you know. It's more about your relationship. It's about relationship. And when we come to realize that, you know, if our vision is just, I mean, there's there's people out there that donate money to the poor and do all kinds of things, but they haven't acknowledged Jesus as their Savior. And that's not going to get them anywhere other than it's a nice thing that they did. But, you know, it's kind of a hard thing sometimes, you know, for people to understand that. But anyway, what he was telling me was, you know, some because you had lack of vision in the natural, you were doing something that was going to destroy something. If you had my vision, you'd have seen those trees growing and flourishing, and if I'd had the vision of Margaret, you know, I would have seen them growing big and tall, and
yes.
A couple of years down the road, we'd been sitting on the deck and
being shaded,
a nice cool deck, you know, yeah. When the sun would be beating on us and stuff. But you know, God has a tendency that he does that for lack of vision, and you know, God is the one who has to give you the vision. It's not something that you get on your own. It's something that he'll give you. But we as being Christians, we need to pray that God strengthen our five spiritual senses, mm-hmm. You know, that we begin to see things for what they are. What's it say about Jesus? When we see him as he is, what'll happen?
Be just like him,
see? And seeing is the highest vision, you know. Somebody can stand and tell you, well, my trees are growing. And if you don't see the trees growing, what good is it? You know what I mean? But, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, vision is the highest order. And that scripture says my people perish for lack of vision. And, you know, that perish is a thing that's, it doesn't mean perish. In the sense, it means something a little bit different than that. I'd have to look it up to tell you the exact meaning. But it has a tendency, like, remember when you said about putting new wine in old wineskins, that kind of thing? Well, you can't put the new thing in something old, because the new thing will sometimes destroy the old, you know? But we have to realize that God's in control of it all. And what he's saying here when these parables, if they would really have ears to hear what he was saying, they would have understood and they would have been converted.
Yeah.
But he said he gave them slumbering eyes, you know, and they weren't meant to see it at that time. And the ones who were, he told his disciples different places in the scriptures. He said, it's been given unto you to understand these things. It's not been given unto them yet. And God's timing, we don't understand it sometimes. I mean, we don't, you know, we think we know more than we really know. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be quiet. You guys got anything you want to say? I know I just preached you two little sermons there. Sorry.
I was realizing, I was looking, you know, I tell you had dinner with Tobias and friends. And I was seeing, you know, I was just sitting looking at people and things that they were sharing and saying. And what we say and comes out of our mouth shows where we are and who we are in Him. And the one guy who was our server, very friendly, very, you know, nice and all. Then the one who was the manager, Tobias, that made reservation with him for this room, they struck it off just talking and everything. Mm-hmm. And he came in and visited and sat down with us and everything. But I was seeing where the one sister was asking the guy, server, where he went to church, or did he go to church? Mm-hmm. And he said no.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah. But what I stood out to me was what she was saying to the server, you know, that.
Yeah.
And was telling about different with the church that they had. And I was saying where God would have us to present Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because He is the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
Not a building.
Right.
And she was saying, well, how you need the fellowship. And I was saying, it's greater to have a relationship with that, him.
That's it. Yeah.
If you went nowhere, because if you don't have a relationship with him, you're not going to have the fellowship anyway.
Right.
You know, going with, you know, others. Right. And I state, because I just want to state that. And she said, well, you need to have the fellowship. You need to be. And I was saying how when God called me out of the church where I was at, that Betty and I went nowhere for 2 years, but we met together all the time.
Right.
And prayed and had fellowship individually with God, like your mother told you, you got to know him for yourself.
For yourself, that's right.
And then when we came together, it was even greater. God would start opening things. And I remember the many times that we called and talked to Jan and Ron up in Michigan, and the very scripture and the very word that God had given us, their minister has spoken that morning, you know, to them.
Right.
And greater is the relationship, because this is what God is wanting with us, for him, us to know him.
That's right.
And this is what we present to the world, that they see really, and he is the only one that gives us the fellowship and the love for one another.
Right.
This is what the world is seeking,
right,
is seeing, you know, this love. And I was just seeing that, how great it is. And God used Tobias's friend, Gail, to minister to this young man. He stayed in there. Everybody was getting ready to leave. And she began to minister to him. And she ministered about Christ, didn't she? She ministered about Christ to him. God used her. And she was telling him, and she was telling him the importance of him knowing God, because he has a daughter.
Yeah.
And he wants her to be blessed. And I thought it was so precious. I was gathering stuff and getting stuff together, but I could hear her, that God used her, because he sat down, didn't he?
Yeah, he sat on the table that was against the wall.
And stayed there as she, and I know God dropped in his heart and ministered to him. And she, they invited him to come and gave him a car to the church anytime. But he knew the one minister, didn't he? That Tobias, the pastor. That Tobias knew, and the one church there, he knew where it was and knew it. So I just looked at all things. There's no coincidence. How God brings all things, you know, together.
Yes, he does.
And I looked how he used her, that she presented Christ. I thought it I felt like crying. I thought it was so precious that she ministered the Christ to him. Yes.
You know, I can remember years ago, Clyde would tell me, he'd say, you know, I talked to so-and-so, person that used to come and gather together at church, but weren't going to church anywhere or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or even some of the people that were coming to church at our assembly here that were assembling, you know, that they would say, well, I'm going through this and this and this. And Clyde said he would tell them, you know, we just talked about that in Sunday school. He said, you know, if you'd have been there, you would have got your answer.
Clyde was outspoken for Jesus.
He was. And I love it, because he would tell them and stuff. But you know, the thing about it is that the scripture tells us not to forsake yourself assembling together, you know, as you see the day more approach. And people have a tendency that they let everything else keep from people getting together. And, you know, one of the nice things has been a nice thing about our particular assembly has been the fact that we encourage people to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got something, it's like I've told you many times, and you too, buddy. I mean, if you've got something you want to share, and you know, the pulpit's open to you, you know. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, a lot of churches are not like that. And I'm not trying to emphasize this particular church or anything, but I'm just saying that that's should be the ultimate goal in all churches. And that's been my heart's desire, is to see the body of Christ grow up, Because if it grow, when it grows up, creation is going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God, like it says in Romans the 8th chapter, you know. And that's, it has to grow up, and it has to come to the realization that Jesus is not 900 million miles away. He's not, you know, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Yes. His very presence, His very spirit. You were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And when you come to realize that, then you're not looking for something outside of you out there. You happen to realize, just like you said about getting together in buildings, Jesus don't dwell in buildings. That's why he came to realize, you're the temple of God.
We are the temple.
That's right. Yes. You're lively stones. You're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't gather together sometimes in a building. I mean, either that, you stand out in the sun, or you get rained on or something if it's bad weather. But, you know, you can't put emphasis. The buildings themselves are not holy place.
Mm-hmm. It's
not. When he told Moses at the burning bush, take your shoes off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. I got news for you. He was telling him, don't have anything between your feet and me, and your walk and me, is what he was really saying to him. When you remove what's hindering you from your walk with me, or, you know, getting between you and me, then wherever you stand is holy ground. You know, we used to sing that, we are standing on holy ground. Yeah. And I know there, let me tell you what, the first time I ever came into church down there, that it was the first or second time, I believe it was the first time, they sang that song, we are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus, praise Him now.
Yes.
We are standing on holy ground. And I'm going to tell you, I could feel the touch of angels' wings. There's glory all around. Let me tell you, when I sat there in the assembly, I had my eyes closed, and it literally, and this is honestly God's truth, it literally just felt like that there was wings flapping around me. I mean, that's exactly what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, oh, Lord, you know, I knew that's where God had me seated, you know, and I knew that was where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did venture off into other places or anything, because I felt like that's where God had me be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've stayed here through big crowds, little crowds, in between crowds. But, you know, there's coming a time when the Lord will probably move me away from here, you know, and that's okay. You know, but it's one of those situations where when you have a relationship with God, wherever you are, He's there. Wherever you go, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord's going too. The Spirit's with you. It's in you. It's everywhere. He's omnipresent, but it's in you. And a lot of times what He wants you to do is to have the word of reconciliation to other people, where you begin to tell them that they've been reconciled to God.
Yes.
That they don't have to walk around in condemnation and feeling guilty all the time or whatever. That as they begin to acknowledge Him, He does the cleaning. He does the changing in your life. A lot of times, if you could do it, you had already done it, you know, but you can't sometimes. And you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that was sent to lead and guide you into all truth. And he's the one that leads, and He's the one that guides. He uses the people sometimes, and He works through people sometimes, and that's fine. Or out of people, I'll say. Not through them, but out of them, because they're in Him, you know. But some of the greatest revelations that there is was Christ in you. And you know, we taught, that's been taught in the church, and I think that's pretty generally taught nowadays. And years ago, it wasn't, you know, because everybody was looking for Him to come down all the time out of the clouds. And, you know, but some of the greatest revelation there is Christ in you. And then the Lord years ago had me start teaching in Him. We live and move and have our being.
Yes.
Not only is He in us, but we have to start believing that we're in Him too. And when we come to that full realization that we're in Him, you know, then I believe that'll be when we begin to totally grow up in Him, you know, into Him. You know, God's going to consummate everything in Jesus Christ. And He's going to consummate it in you and in me. We're in the body of Christ. People, those are like almost like parables. They quote that stuff, but they don't really totally understand it and believe it. Because if you're the body of Christ, where does He dwell?
Yeah.
In your body. He's in your body. You're part of the body.
So this is the temple. I can't tell. The times I've run into it, and this one sister went on to be at the Lord, in the store, her and her daughter, that's Kelly and Della, and we have had fellowship and that right there in the aisle because of the Christ that was in
us. That's right.
And oh, I tell you, and I know this one gentleman I had met, and he has since gone on to visit the Lord. My sister had introduced me to him, and he had taken care of his wife for years. She had dementia. Then he had to place her in the hospital and me in the nursing home, and then he had heart problems, and his kids made him, like, you gotta place mom in there. And he ended up being in there. And I was in there talking to, this is Ruth's mother. She was the one that owned the mobile home park where we're at. And I come out, and there he sat on his motorized wheelchair. And he said, I heard that voice. I was in there talking to her and praying with her. I heard that voice, and I knew it was you. And we began to talk, and as you're talking, it's like he's magnified and just became great. Him and I prayed together that people who were walking by, I wouldn't even, because I had my eyes closed.
Right.
And God just felt like He just enveloped us, just enclosed us, and as we shared and that, and not long after that, He passed, and I had written on, you know, you could send a card, and also on, you could come on the site at the funeral to the family. Right. And that was the last time, you know, I had seen him. But I tell you, they talk about fellowship. He's ever present.
Yes, he is. Well, you know, the thing about it is that's like moving on down through here a little bit. It says, they begin to say unto him, you know, they saw his mighty works and they saw all those different things. But then they started saying, but isn't this the carpenter's son?
That's all they saw.
Isn't this the carpenter's son? You know, we know his mother Mary, you know?
Yes.
And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and all of them. We know them, you know.
But they didn't know him.
But they didn't know him. They didn't know the real him, see? And then they went on and said, and his sisters, are they not all among us? And whence hath this man these things? Where did he get this from? They should have been saying, how do I get this? Where do I get this from? Where can I get it from? And it says, and they were offended in him.
Yeah.
They were offended. Instead of rejoicing in him, they were offended. And I'll tell you something else. What you find out, and I found this out, I mean, most people find this out. When you come to the Lord and the Lord begins to change your life, all the people who were your friends before in a previous life, they have a tendency that they try to pull away from you because they feel uncomfortable when they're around you. That they feel that presence of God in you, and it makes them feel very uncomfortable.
Yes. And now, they are offended.
They are offended, and they say, well, bless God, wasn't you the one who went out to the bar we meet there 10 years ago or whatever, and they have a tendency to do that. Well, you ain't no different than me. And you know what? They're right. You ain't no different than them other than Jesus Christ has revealed himself to you and he's changing you from the inside out.
And there's a vacancy because that person, they bring this up. Yeah. Weren't you so-and-so? Yeah. Well, who is that? That person no longer exists. Existing. Who is in charge? Yeah.
And you know what we could say to them? Well, aren't you glad that I changed? I'm not that person anymore. You can change too. God will change.
Yeah, but most of them.
Yeah, I know, it's funny.
So
you know what the thing about it is, what you find out too, is the times when they're really in trouble or something,
they
will seek you out.
They do.
They will seek you out because they know you have something that they don't at that point. Or In other words, you've recognized something inside of you that they haven't recognized, that Christ can be in them too. You know, and verse 57 says this, and it says, and they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them. Now this is where we should not get too upset when somebody doesn't treat us with respect as being a Christian. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, in his own house.
His family.
See? Yes. And you know, and the thing about that is that, you know, don't be surprised when people don't accept you. You know, even having been in this church for many, many years, there's people in this church who do not honor the ministry. You know, well, who does he think he is? You know, so-and-so should have been doing this, or, you know, and that kind of stuff. You get that stuff, you know. And the thing about it is that Jesus said this. He was without honor in his own land. He was without honor in his own household to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, he had to say to them one time, they came to him and they said, Lord, your mother and your brothers, they're standing outside the crowd here. And what did he say?
Who is
my mother and who is my brother?
It is he who does.
They didn't hear the word of God and was all the baby. Basically, what he was saying.
Those are
my brothers, my sisters, and everybody, my family. See, is what he was saying, and people don't realize that, and you know, and it goes on, and it says in verse 58, and he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief, and I tell you what. You can pray to for somebody till you're blue in the face, but until that spark of faith inside of them sparks up, you're just beating your gums. You know what I mean? And that's one reason why I don't just go around just praying for people all the time. But I feel like I pray for people when I'm supposed to pray for them, because that's when God will move, and when he does something, you know, above and beyond what you would have thought he would have done, even at times. But you know, a lot of this stuff is really so simple, but we make it more complicated than it really is, you know, at times. And people have got their formulas of nine, you do these nine things and God has to move. Well, God don't have to do anything he don't want to do. You can't manipulate God.
No.
You move and flow with him in the spirit as he moves and flows in you, you know. And, you know. But
who was the brother that was the doctor that came here when he shared that time?
Oh, that was...
brother, I can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah, he was...
And he prayed for this young lady with her child and was praying, and God lengthened his leg right in his examining room in front of the mother.
Yeah, that was... Chuck Warren.
Yes.
Yeah, Chuck Warren.
Right there. And then this one little lady, Catholic, but loved the Lord. I mean, you know, she had Christ, even the Catholic. I don't mean anything. That's a title. I'm just, you know. And he was praying with her. Mm-hmm. And he felt to really want to pray with her. And he kept her in the examining room, so he'd go pray and then come back to see anything. Mm-hmm. And then he had to find a better goal, you know, go. And then he told God, and I said, why didn't you touch her? She loves you and so faithful to you and all. And then them that knew you not, and he said, because I didn't tell you to pray. Mm-hmm. He had him pray for her.
Right.
And the miracle he performed to them in there. Mm-hmm. And he said, because I didn't tell you to pray for her.
Right.
So that was in him wanting to pray. He was sharing that about being led of God in ministering to people.
Well, see, when we come to understand that we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Christ within, God will let us know when we're supposed to do something, when we're not supposed to do something. And that doesn't mean that if somebody says, "Will you pray for me?" and you tell me, "Yeah, I'll pray for you," and you pray that God. And a lot of times when somebody asks me to do that, I pray, God, let your perfect will be done in that person's life. I don't know
what he wants to
what do. You want to do at that point, but you know, and there's times when God will have you take authority over something. You know, I had a person call me one time, and they said, they literally told me that they felt like that there was a, you know, like a demonic present in their house, and they called me and asked me about it, and I said, take dominion over it. You're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, take dominion
over it. Because God has given us the authority.
He has given you authority. That's right. See, I love that one song. I got this CD, and it's got this one song on it. And I can't think of the guy's name. That this guy was a great praise and worship guy. I mean, and this one album, I didn't even know who it was by. And Kathy finally looked it up and told me who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is just he died not recently, but he was a black brother. And he was just great. His songs are just so lifting. And
yeah,
stuff.
Because they were.
And he sang this one song, we're going up to the high places and tear the devil's kingdom down.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and in the words of that song, he says, and what he said was his has been ours all along.
Yeah, oh God.
Oh my God, and you feel anointing now. I know you can't.
Yeah.
I feel it. It's been ours all along. We're going to tear that devil's kingdom down. And see, when the church comes to the realization of the power and the authority that they have under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know, things are going to change. Things are going to change, I tell you. I think about this heard this old time preacher say one time. He said he was driving down the road, and he said, and God opened his eyes, you know, to everything like around him, you know. I mean, which God had to be helping him drive the car at the same time.
Yes,
you know what I mean? But he said, I saw animals crying and weeping and stuff. And he said, I saw all these different things just weeping and carrying on. And he said, and the Lord began to deal with me about what it says in Romans 8 chapter. All creation groans and travails waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Yes.
It says, because they'll be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God.
Yes.
You know, and when you really understand what that means, it's coming. It's coming, a lot of times people don't like for you to say it's coming because they say, "Well, oh yeah, we've got it now." Well, yes and no. We have it, but it hasn't been totally set free and revealed.
Uh-uh.
So, I mean, but you know, I thought, well, and people, I've heard people say, well, you know, when the sons of God come forth, they're going to go in the hospitals and just empty them out and all this and that. Well, that could be. And it could be that the Lord's anointing and presence just comes in such a great way that they have a revelation of Jesus Christ and are set free without any hands. Mm-hmm. And then again, it might be through hands. I don't know.
But remember who was going up into the temple and he said, such as I have.
Give I thee.
And then what he spoke to her, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And you know, I'm trying to think. Lord had me preach a sermon on that one time. He was sitting by the gate beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that word for beautiful means, it has the meaning, I believe, of like an appointed time. There was an appointed time. And he'd been sitting there for who knows how long. How many years had he sat there begging alms of people?
Yes.
But there was an appointed time. And in that appointed time, Peter and them happened to walk by.
Yes.
You know.
And he begged alms.
Can't
you just see him for such as I have? Give him
he was expecting, but not expecting what he
not
got.
Not what he got. It was far better than what he asked for.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Well, the thing about it is, like I say, I love that old story about that guy that was shipwrecked on the island, you know, the minute the, well, I guess he was a missionary or whatever, shipwrecked on that island. And years later, when those people found that island and they come on that island, and they were Christians, they started preaching to them about Jesus Christ. They said, "Oh, we know him." And they said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Yeah, we know him. He's lived here among us for a long time." And they said, "Well, would you like to meet him?" And they said, "Yeah." And they take him, and it was that missionary
that lived in front of him.
That's praise God for that.
God, I'll tell you. Yes.
But those are wonderful stories, you know.
Yes.
And you know, God knows what He's doing, folks. We're in good shape.
Yes.
All right, Brenda, you want to close for us in prayer?
Yes, Father, we just thank you for revealing yourself to us and us, and even greater, we ask through us, oh God. And we just thank you for the word and the fellowship that we've had in you, Lord. And we ask, oh God, that we be pleasing to you in all that we say and do.
Amen.
And as we go forth, Father, that we praise you and that we lift you up, and you be blessed and glorified even greater in the next service, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise. Mm-hmm. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.